the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Coming up this week, what a year. And as it draws to a close, we've got one of the big bosses from Bauer to tell us how 2020 has been for them. Dee Ford is on the podcast later. We'll find out what she thinks the best thing to come out of the pandemic is. And most importantly, which of Bauer's many breakfast shows she likes to tune into every morning.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.
First, for the final time in 2020, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here. Hi, Roy.
What? The final time of the year? Is that it? Are we done?
It's Christmas next week, isn't it? So we're off, I think, for the next couple of weeks. Is that all right, boss?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, let's have a couple of weeks off. We do every year anyway, to be fair. So it's just creeping up on us so quick, isn't it?
It is. And there's been quite a few things going on this week. I was looking at all the stories you've been writing on Radio Today. You've been a busy boy this week. There's all sorts of stuff on there.
I have been very busy. If only I had a deputy editor who could help out occasionally. Stuart.
Sorry, been busy running the Christmas logs and everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be a busy time at Radio Rumbles.
Get it right. Come on, Rumbles Radio. Yes, sorry. I think, you know, up at, when you're, as I'm sure people listening to this will know, when you've got to get everything ready for Christmas and you're going to be hopefully taking a bit of time off, there's a lot of work to do with scheduling logs and organising programme schedules and ads and everything else that you need to do. And when you're running a radio station on a shoestring with just a couple of you running it and some people helping out, there's a lot to do.
Yeah, I know. I've been there, done that. But I'm looking forward to hopefully nobody sending in any press releases over Christmas, because that would just be a dream. If you've got any news, could you just hold on till, February? Let's go for February next year. No, I joke, of course. Keep sending it in, especially if it's like the one we got today. Did you see that one we got today?
Oh, yeah. You've not used that one, though. It's not really relevant to us, is it?
I'm not going to use it, but that was an interesting one. Might tweet it.
Yeah, anyway, it was about a kind of video system, a camera system, so not really relevant to radio, as we get so many press releases that are nothing to do with radio that just get sent to us on distribution lists. I think this one came from America, but yeah, it had some pictures which I probably wouldn't have sent out with a press release if I was a PR person, but there we go. Look out for Roy's tweet.
The story was, if I don't tweet it, because I might get in trouble, but if I don't, then it was basically a model, female model, who has bought a home studio kit from a company, and it showed a couple of pictures of her with not many clothes on. Is that, I'm trying to
didn't leave much to the imagination, did
that's
it?
That's it, yeah. There's a lot of skin, so I mean, I'll put it on Radio Today America, that'll be fine, but it's probably not good for over here. Anyway,
yeah, so please don't send us stories like that. We like ones about radio, please. Speaking of which, we got sent some news about United DJs this week, which is a radio station that's been going for, what, 3 years now? And it's going to shut down.
Yeah, so this was Tony Prince's personal project. He got all his mates in, or some of his mates, and it transpires one or two of his enemies as well, in to help him run this radio station. And everybody said at the time it wouldn't last very long, and it's done all right for 3 years, I guess, but the time's run out, the money's probably run out as well, and it's going to close before the end of the year. It has been on DAB in a few places, and it's online, but there's so many, you know, personal radio stations around at the moment that they're not going to last forever, especially if they're just vanity projects.
Yep, it's about knowing your audience, isn't it? And I think, you know, as we've talked about before, with all these new, whatever we call them, flurry stations or spike stations, you know, the better ones are the ones that know who their audience is, know a specific geographic area that they're covering, and go proper hyper-local. The ones that are just people having fun playing records, well, anybody can do that, can't they?
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, because everybody needs a hobby. And hey, I'm sat here in Studio One in Dorset, and I've got like three hobbies right in front of me. And that's what they are. But, you know, everybody needs jingles in their life, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody needs 24 hours of jingles nonstop every day.
Maybe. Good luck to people who've been involved in United DJs. If they're looking for more work, hope they find it. And Mike Reed and Neil Fox obviously going to Nation Radio, which is going to have a bit of a relaunch in the new year as well.
Yeah, and apparently some other jocks from United DJs are going to be on some other stations as well. They've been poached, apparently, or been approached. So, yeah, all interesting times. I did ask Tony for a comment, but he replied saying, if he did, I probably wouldn't print it. So, happy days, I'm sure. We'll move on from that and put it down to experience, I think.
Yeah. Big news as well, a bit of a shock this week that came out on Monday, that Siobhan Kenny is leaving Radio Centre. She's the CEO of Radio Centre, the industry body representing commercial radio. She's done loads over the last few years to kind of raise the game for commercial radio and raise the profile, you know, among politicians, and obviously the work they do with the advertising sectors as well, and massive team that she runs at Radio Centre. And that'll be a big change, having a different person in charge of that.
Yeah, and Siobhan's very well loved as well. There's so much love for Siobhan within commercial radio, and even at the BBC as well. She's done, like you say, fantastic things over her relatively short time in charge there, only 6 years. So we'll miss her because she's been great to us as well. She's always writing stuff for us and speaking to us. So we'll miss her, everybody will miss her, and we don't know quite what she's doing next. I don't think she knows what she's doing next either, but good luck to Siobhan. And they have said they will be replacing her, so interesting times, interesting changes down at Radio Centre.
Yeah, and Dee Ford from Bauer, sad to see Siobhan go as well. We'll get her response later on this podcast. Talking about, I get confused about who owns what and things, but the Bristol radio station Sam FM, is that Bauer or is that Nation's Sam FM? I get confused. That's Bauer, isn't it?
You're right to be confused, because Nation did own a Sam and they turned it into Greatest Hits, but this Sam will be turned into Hits Radio in Bristol, because Ofcom have said yes to their format change to play. It's quite a drastic format change, actually. It's going to go from an album-led sort of almost rock station, although I don't think they've played many guitars over the last few months, to a hit music station, which Ofcom says is not already available in the city, apart from Heart and Kiss and, well, yeah. So you get the idea. But that's going to be Hits. We don't know when, but they still need to do a 3-hour local show as well. So we're looking forward to details of what that will be. And maybe somebody who's currently at Sam will continue their employment there and maybe do a hit music show. If any of them are up for it, you never know.
Lots of people getting new jobs and changing jobs and stuff at the moment. We heard on this podcast last week about the expansion plans for Union Jack Radio, with Union Jack Rock and Union Jack Dance now on D2. They said D1 then, on STL. Dick Stone has been hired as well, ex-Global, GCAP, GWR, to be the group content manager for Jack. I think that's a good hire. Spence McDonald is going back on Breakfast. He's joining Imagine Radio in Stockport. And Eric Smith from BBC Radio Shropshire, retiring next week after 26 years on Breakfast. He's been in radio for 49 years, started out in BBC Local Radio, had a big spell in commercial radio as well with Radio Air and others. He was on the Radio Today programme last year when he hit 25 years on Radio Shropshire Breakfast, and he's a really nice man. It's definitely worth a listen back if you missed that, like Roy did.
All right. Yeah, and if you are looking for work, then pop yourself on radiotoday.co.uk/available. It's a free listing for anybody who is looking for a job. And if anybody is looking for staff, then have a look. There's quite a few people on there now, all categorised into different skill sets. radiotoday.co.uk/available. And of course, there's the good old radiotodayjobs.com to put any job adverts on there. There's not been that many recently, but
I've been quite finished with your plugs.
Sorry, carry on.
Good luck as well to anyone who's changing jobs, leaving, retiring, starting a new venture in the new year. We're hoping 2021 is going to be a better year. There's been lots of new ventures this year, including something else that was a story on Radio Today about this week, which is Show Host from Air. And we are using it right now for our production notes for this podcast, aren't we?
I've got it in front of me as we speak. It's very good. I quite like it.
You quite like it. I think it's brill. Yeah. So if you've not heard about this, and this is not an advert, and we will get some of the guys from Air on to tell us about it in the new year maybe, but Show Host, it's a really good idea. It's not something I'd ever thought of, but people, when they're prepping shows, maybe you work on a breakfast show and you've got a big team, you've got a producer and a couple of presenters and an exec producer, something like that. You might have bits of things on iCloud Notes or on a Google Doc or, you know, all over the place, bits of paper. This is the idea of this. It brings everything together in one place on a kind of screen that you put your running order in, and you can put your songs and where everything in the show goes. People can edit it, and then you bring up a kind of live assist view and see your scripts and see your bits and your topics and funnies and things like that.
See your bits. It's the kind of thing that I thought would exist already, because it's such an obvious thing to have. I'm sure other industries have things like this to help them do their job. But for a radio presenter and producer and a podcast as well, it just seems like the obvious thing, and it's so well put together, and it's obviously been put together with the input or by people who do radio shows. So you'd look at it and think, oh, if only it did this, and then you sort of press a button and you think, oh, it does it. So that's great. So it brings it all together, and you can scroll at the same time, and you basically all sing off the same hymn sheet at the same time. That should have been their slogan, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it kind of pretty much is. So we've been using it, and I've put my openers and my idents and things in there, and how long they last, and my teas at the start, and then we've got our notes for our chat. Yes, it is all prepared of our things we're going to talk about in this little bit, and then I've got my advert in, and then I've got my main guest interview and all my notes. So if I prepped that a few days ago, you can go in there because you're part of my team, and you can say, oh, I'll add another question in for D Ford or whatever. So we kind of collaborate and work together on the scripts. It works really well.
It's good. I mean, before this we were just using notes on our phone, and that kind of did the job, but this lets us do a lot more. So, yeah, thank you to the guys at
Air. For the trial account. It's good. I'm enjoying it. And a couple of other things to mention. The ARIAs have been announced now. Entries are going to open on the 4th of January. You'll get 5 weeks to get your entries in. All the rubrics are online on the Radio Academy website now. The awards are going to be in, wait for it, May. A Radio Academy Awards due in May. It's like the old times.
Can we go to the Grosvenor House and stand on the balcony and get charged £10 for a Diet Coke? Can we do that?
Hopefully not. Hopefully it'll be somewhere else. Not that there's anything wrong with the Grosvenor on Park Lane, but it wasn't exactly the cheapest place to get a drink, was it?
No, I don't know. I don't think I've ever bought one, actually. We were always drinking water or working, and then I think the last time somebody bought us around was... I'll not mention that.
I know who you're going to say.
The last person to buy us around in that place, but
let's move on swiftly from that. Yeah. So the Radio Academy Awards, the ARIAs, going to be in May. Get your entries ready over Christmas if you've been saving audio all year. 4th of January is when they open. I think that's about it from us for 2020. Roy, you got any big predictions for 2021?
Oh my goodness. No, I think we're done. I think if we could just level out now, please, as an industry, I think Bauer's done all they're doing. Global's kind of happily bubbling along, doing their thing with all their decade stations. They might fill in a few presenters on the schedules and things like that. But it's all about the small scale, of course. That's going to be big in 2021. There's a prediction. Small scale will go big scale. But yeah, I don't know is the answer. Have you got any?
Well, I suppose it's better than predicting some things and getting it completely wrong, isn't it? So it's always better to say nothing.
Are you trying to say we got stuff wrong last year?
Oh, I don't know. What predictions did you make last year? Have any of them come true?
Let's have a look. Last year, January, new streams added to BBC Sounds, including Radio 1 and Radio 2 spin-offs. Ooh, so Radio 1 Dance.
Radio 1 Dance.
There we go.
That happened.
Tick. I love that. We didn't get Radio 2 80s at this time yet. New jingles for BBC local radio stations. Oh, no. XS Manchester rebrands to Capital Extra.
Ow.
moving on. Bauer to close another broadcast centre in the north. At Preston.
Yeah.
Got that one?
Yeah.
Global launches Smooth Musicals. Ooh. Still time. Yeah, I'm just skipping over the ones we got wrong. Oh, April. Sam FM South Coast rebrands to Greatest Hits Radio.
Tick.
Got that one. Free Radio and Gem rebrand to Hits Radio. Oops, not yet. Maybe put that one in for next year.
Yeah.
BBC reveals plans for Radio 5 Live News and 5 Live Sport.
There's
two separate 24-hour outputs. Still time.
Still time. There's only a week and a half of the year left.
Still time. For next year. Ipswich 102 and Town 102 merge. Capital expands to Kent. No, not yet.
So in other words, you got a lot wrong in your predictions this time last year.
Oh, I got a few right. Here we go. Fire rebrands to Hits, which they've kind of taken the brand but not rebranded.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And this is one I stick by. October, surprising Radar results for everybody. They were surprising. They don't exist.
Very surprising, yeah.
Chris Evans announces a big change.
Oh.
He did. He announced Graham Norton.
He did, yeah.
There we go. We got it.
the answer is be vague in your predictions and they might come right. It's just like horoscopes, really, isn't it?
Yeah. You may have a good day today. So there you go. Chris Evans announces a big change.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
Tick. Yeah. Look at that. Just call me Meg.
Yeah. Right. Well, so there we are. So our predictions are that nothing really much is going to change this year and we'll just kind of flatten out.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Well, have a lovely Christmas. Yeah. And I'll maybe talk to you in January, I suppose.
Let's do it. First week in January. I can't see it being busy at all. First week in January.
Fab. I'll speak then. Well, stick around. Dee Ford is coming up on the podcast as well next.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Now, 2020 has been a big year for Bauer. Completed acquisition of 50 radio stations from four groups after the go-ahead from the CMA. Got them all integrated into the Greatest Hits Radio Network and the Hits Network. Some new deals with Nation, dealing with acquired buildings and people. They bought a couple more stations along the way. And then the global pandemic hit, which brought challenges for staff and revenues. All that in amongst running a massive media company with brand new national brands like Hits Radio Pride, Absolute Radio 40s, lots of changes at KISS, and that's before we even get to Magic, Scala, Jazz FM and everything else I've forgotten they own. So let's get a look back at what a year it's been for Bauer. And I'm pleased to say on the Radio Today programme this week, we've got the Group Managing Director, Dee Ford. Hi, Dee.
Hello, Stuart.
What an introduction and what a year. Is it a year for you that you want to forget or a year that you want to remember?
I think it's a year that probably I've never had the like of before in terms of the amount that I've learned. And I think in many ways, whilst this whole year has been really tough on individuals and on businesses as well, I think it's going to be one of those years where we perhaps exit it with a spine that perhaps we didn't know we had. And in some ways, I sort of think back to the start of all of this COVID. I mean, it's only March. It was March. That's the first sort of inkling that I had of it. And I remember thinking, I was working from home on the first day. I think it was the 23rd of March. It would be a Monday anyway. And I remember thinking, I'm not quite sure what we're facing into here. I think we were just about to get the keys to the door to our major acquisitions that you've mentioned. But there was clearly something up with all of the sort of conversations, all the news around COVID. And every Monday I do two things. I make sure I know where we are with regard to what we're expected to deliver for the rest of the year. I'm a bit of a planner, so I'm always checking on the financials. But then on this particular Monday, I went straight back to a day book that I keep all my day books, so I always have done. But that I'd written some notes probably it was at the start of the last downturn. And I'd written some notes about, I don't know if you've ever seen this video, Stuart. It's one that you can easily get on YouTube, but it's called Lessons from Geese, A Line of One.
Mm-hmm.
I find it really moving, this thing. And it's just a very short video. I'd recommend it to anybody to go and see. But it's a really short video and it taught me at the time lessons that I think I have really kept close and this year really made work hard. And I guess the big message from this sort of video and something I've always thought was, if we've got a shared vision that's right the way across our people and our teams, then people with a shared vision really help each other to get to where they're going and they're really clear about where they're going. So it's important to have people with a shared vision. And for that, let's interpret it as also information, you know, clarity, understanding, making sure everybody's as genned up as everybody else. There are many joys about being a leader, but the big responsibilities I think that we've got are, we've got to offer quality encouragement. And in this video, it sort of talks about geese in the formation that they fly in, those geese at the back honking loudly, keep those at the front really keep going and motivated and inspired. And I sort of think, as leaders, if we're honking, let's make it positive honking. Let's make it really count and support our people and be clear with our people. And I think if you get all of that right, you can build an organization where people feel empowered. And it was that I was thinking. That was the frame that was in my mind on the 23rd of March. By the end of that week, so 5 working days, by the way, I think we've got the best IT team in the world at Bauer, but 90% of our teams had been relocated to work from home. And that included broadcasters. You know, people weren't necessarily broadcasting from cupboards, but we were nearly there. And the whole thing was, we just had to, first and foremost, make our people safe. Number one, make our people safe. Check everybody's okay. Once everybody's okay, then let's see if we can actually kit them up, be able to do the job. And I'm so glad on the 23rd of March, I had absolutely no idea what this mountain was going to be anything like that we've actually climbed since then. Because I think if I had known, I'm not sure I'd have known how to have got on with it. And there's something a bit good, for want of a better phrase, about just taking every day, just doing what is right every single day, keeping people with us, keeping people safe, being really clear.
And I guess leading teams in a crisis is one thing, but doing it when you can't actually get face to face with them, when you can't yourself get into the office and you're doing it from home as well, just presents an extra challenge.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's something we had to get used to. And I still am not an expert on teams by a long chalk. But I do remember some of the early calls into the helpline from people who are working from home. And I think I've been banned from the helpline. I think, you know, we were having calls saying, my broadband's absolutely rubbish. Can you sort it out for me, please? And, you know, my camera's clearly not working because I don't think I've ever looked that old. That sort of things. But, you know, just making sure that people had the wherewithal, basically, to be able at least to start to try and build new ways of working, and obviously to do that remotely. But the first thing we had to do was, once we knew people were safe and kitted up, and we needed to then focus on our business continuity. And there's nothing quite as stark, is there, of sharing with all of your people, and, you know, we're 1,000+ people at Bauer, but sort of sharing with them what an incredibly tough position we were in. At the end of March, looking into April, it looked horrific financially.
And yeah, I know you say you're a planner. How bad did it get? It looks like from the latest Radio Centre research that radio is going to bounce back perhaps better than other sectors after the economic downturn. But, you know, where did we get to?
We got to a place, first of all, understanding that we had to make interventions happen. So we had to mobilise our sales teams with great sales messages and be really helpful to our customers, whether that's through agency sales or direct. And we saw all revenues take a really significant and incredibly quick dip straight away towards the tail end of March and obviously into April through Q2. I think that was quite understandable. I mean, you know, lots of advertisers just didn't know whether they ought to be advertising, how long this thing was going to go on for, whether it's worth investing in any medium, never mind radio, for share of voice, for keeping their brand values live, all of those sort of things, all obviously under consideration. But at the end of the day, there was this matching, wasn't there, of what is the size of the opportunity for an advertiser? And that was really determined by consumer confidence. And so I think what we've managed to do from a revenue perspective is we've managed to take consumer insight. We've been doing constant rolling surveys with our inside panel and taking that out to advertisers. So advertisers will always hear from us how our consumers are feeling, how confident they are, or you know, how enriched they've become, and how much cash they might have available to be able to go and spend at what period of time. And so we were sort of taking messages out, which I think as an industry, we've done that really well. But also, I think as an industry, we've been credited, and quite rightly, as having a place in the lives of consumers that perhaps is absolutely unique. The level of trust that is put in radio, full stop, but not least commercial radio. And bearing in mind, commercial radio is really rather strong at engaging younger audiences. And this is where young audiences come to get, you know, to be informed as well as to be entertained. And I think we've been credited with having a great place in lives of people. We've been credited with carrying on innovating. There's been all sorts of, you know, product innovation. We've had, as you've mentioned already, Absolute Radio 40s, which was a joy, but matched only by Hits Radio Pride and so many other things that we've done. So I think we've sort of innovated. We've kept positive messages going out to customers. We have shown that we have got high trust, that people come to radio and really trust the environment, whether they're listeners or whether they're advertisers. And I think we've managed to get ourselves in a position where we've seen, certainly from agency revenues now, a really good, strong growth. I wouldn't say rebound, because we're not rebound right back up there, but we've seen some good, strong growth. And I think as each month passes, we can see that booking patterns are changing. Customers are coming more confident at booking in advance. So that's one element of our business. But our local direct advertisers, I think they're going to take longer to come back. A lot of small SMEs just haven't necessarily traded through a lot of the period of lockdown. So I think it's going to take a while for them to come back.
And just finally, before we move on to topics other than the pandemic, is there anything that Bauer has done this year that you've thought, do you know what, I think we'll carry on doing that, even though perhaps it's not something we would have done had the pandemic not come along?
I think one thing that comes straight to mind when you ask me that is we furloughed quite a lot of people, and we needed to. I mean, you know, make no bones about it. We absolutely needed to. We're a high fixed cost business, and when your revenue falls away, you're in trouble. And so we furloughed people. I think we did that in a good way. I think we were pretty balletic about it, and we communicated really frequently with people on furlough. And then this was the genius move. We made all our people on furlough, as well as all of those that remained working in the business, able to take part in some Bauer Media Academy development courses. 500 people were educated by the Bauer Academy over the summer. It was outrageous. This wasn't just about skills development, because of course it was about skills development, but the big payback has just been this fantastic confidence boost. Because there's nothing quite like being someone on furlough who is confident about the relationship with their line manager, who's giving them information every week, so no void is in my head that I'm feeling with worry. And by the way, while I'm here, I can go and learn new skills. And then when I go back to the business, I'm going back with fresh legs. So we've had people at summer school. We've had them doing accredited courses. We've even had people who've never been to university starting their master's degree course. I think it's been ace, and the Academy has played such a big part in the sort of reshaping and the leaning in of all of our people into the opportunity of being developed. And Stuart, you'll know as much as anybody else listening to this podcast, we're at a point in the evolution of radio where the development of our skills, if we can deliver that, would be never more valuable. We're in this transition, aren't we, from you know, broadcast to IP via DAB, and the different skills required at every part, whether you're content creating or selling all of that, it's really important to keep relevant. So I think Bauer Media Academy sitting at the heart of our business, not on the outskirts, it will definitely continue going forward.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Onto the acquisitions then. Obviously, the CMA gave you the go-ahead, and perhaps you moved a little bit quicker to integrate the businesses because of the pandemic. Are you pleased with how it's all gone, or is there anything that you perhaps could have done better?
I think every single person responsible for those acquisitions and the integration of those businesses, if we could rewrite history, we would, if we couldn't have got rid of COVID altogether, we'd have pushed it back, because what we really wanted to do, what we set out to do, was to get to know those people and teams as well as we possibly could do. And that, of course, would have required us to get out there to meet people, to understand businesses, to see how things got done in these local stations, because there were definitely elements of those stations that were quite outstanding. The truth is, when we're in a pandemic and we have bought assets that if we'd let them continue, those assets would have been in a position where their viability would very definitely have been challenged. And so you start to stare into something that, you know, on the one hand, we ought to be accelerating integration. On the other hand, we really ought to be being as kind and as sensitive with people as possible, because any change for anybody is really difficult. In the end of the day, we had to integrate those businesses and accelerate what we needed to get out of them. Only in doing that could we then absolutely ensure that those licenses, those stations would remain viable, and that they would still be able to play a very valuable part in the communities that they serve. But I have to say, for the Bauer team led by Graham Bryce, who did a really great job, I think it was incredible hard yards for the team to do, because all of this had to be done remotely, and there was never anything sensitive about remote, but it had to be harder for the teams being integrated. And hats off to them. I've got so much absolute respect for those people, and we now are owners of businesses that we're really confident about, and they're on sure footing.
I mean, clearly when you make changes on this scale, there are going to be people who are not happy with what you do, whether they're inside or outside your businesses. But what do you say? I mean, how do you respond to people who say that these licenses that you've turned into a national network were never given for that purpose? They were supposed to be local radio licenses, but now with Greatest Hits Radio, you've got an essentially a quasi-national network. Is it right that you're using the government spectrum to do that when it was designed for local radio?
I think when those licenses were awarded, the world was a very different place. And we are a radio industry that sits within an audio industry that's got new competitors for our listeners' ears. The dynamics of running a commercial radio business, never mind in COVID, just in normal times, really what we ought to be doing to fight off those competitors, you know, those marauding competitors from the big tech platforms from the States, is we have to be innovating in product. We have to be putting more of our investment behind really great, compelling product, whether that's for our radio business or it might be a streaming service, whatever this place is that we want to secure audiences within, we must do that. And I have to say, Stuart, I have never in all of my life, and we're both in Yorkshire as we're talking today, had anybody, any listener, call me up and say, "Oh, Dee, I really do like that building you've got on the Burley Road." You know, our listeners don't mind where content comes from, as long as they're entertained by it and they're informed by it. Now, the challenge for us is we really believe in serving local communities. So what we are aiming to do, and we're doing that with our best foot forward every day, I'm sure we'll get better day in, day out, is provide content that listeners really appreciate in terms of quality. And some of that content's got to be networked, because that's the way we can get the best quality talent into our business. And some of that content is going to be local and really resonates with those local communities. And so what we're still working really hard to do is to create as much of that sort of local flavour as we possibly can do, embroidered and woven throughout those really great, big quality national known names that make us a really attractive network for a listener, but equally a really attractive network for our advertisers and our sponsors. And therein we keep these businesses viable.
I guess you've got to look at the regulatory change as well, and you know, look at whether this is what the industry wanted or what consumers wanted, this regulatory change that has allowed all this to happen. And I guess there will be some that say it's Bauer and it's Global that have been pushing for this, and that's why you've been allowed to do what you've done.
I think another way of framing it, Stuart, is to think why we would do it. Because without our listeners, we don't have a business. So you can't sort of push for something in a void, having never thought about what this would mean for listeners. Our whole strength as an industry is that we've got really good radio businesses within the commercial radio industry. We've got the BBC, great competitors there as well. And so we constantly are standing toe to toe. We're constantly battling to engage more audiences. And we will do that if we understand what those audiences want. And I go back to the fact that we know what our audiences want because we talk with them all the time. We try and serve more of those audiences. That's the game we're in. How can we engage more people? We'll do that by providing a greater choice of content. And sometimes that content won't come from the place that the listener resides in. Sometimes it's going to come from somewhere else. So the lightening of regulation, deregulation, however you like to frame it, it's never been about anything other than how do we build our audiences.
A couple more questions, because I know we're a little bit pushed for time, but where do you assess the state of the commercial radio sector? Some shock news this week that Siobhan Kenny's going to be leaving her role at Radio Centre. You know, is there a need for a trade body like that to still exist when it is mainly dominated now by Bauer and by Global? You know, what's your relationship like with Ashley and Stephen? Are you toe-to-toe competing with them on everything, or are there things where you need to collaborate?
So first of all, Siobhan, my goodness, I will miss her. She has helped us transform our industry. She is a real class player. So personally, I'll really miss having her in our industry and in our lives. But there is opportunity in every change, isn't there? So we will go on and we'll recruit a new shape of chief exec for our industry body, because I believe we need an industry body. I've already mentioned that, you know, we and Global stand toe to toe, as we do with the BBC. And that has to be great, doesn't it? It has to be that we compete with each other, and we ought to be doing that in many ways. But equally, there will be times when we really must hold hands, and that holding hands and uniting together with the rest of the industry is going to be good for us. We have always done this. We've collaborated when we can, and we compete when we can. And that's what keeps, I think, this industry a really healthy industry. And actually, what we ought to be thinking mostly about is how do we get our industry now to swim upstream into the space that is occupied largely by streaming services. Now, it's really difficult, I believe anyway, it's really difficult for streaming services to create really relevant radio in the way that we believe radio is relevant. I'm not sure it's quite so difficult for a radio business to start swimming upstream into that space. And in doing so, then we can start exploring and securing new digital revenue. So I think there's all sorts of opportunity that actually by competing to get great product, but also by collaborating to make sure that we as an industry grow and then monetizing those audiences and seeking to get not just radio budgets, but also then digital audio budgets or digital display budgets can only be great, can't it? It's new revenues into this industry, and that can only be a really great thing. We are so into the idea of innovating. We're so into the idea. We've got more ideas than you can shake a stick at. So the more revenue we can pull in, the more we can invest in content and product, and the bigger the audiences will be that we'll be able to serve.
And it's been an important year for issues around diversity and inclusion. Where do you think Bauer's at? Can you do more? And what's your reflection on how the industry as a whole is doing?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, I've sort of talked about how important I think communication has been this year, particularly this year, because people have been dispersed and working from home and furloughed, etc. Well, the thing about communication is the most important element of communication that I have really learned this year is listening hard. And I think with all of the events over the summer, you know, listening, accepting, understanding the points of view of other people who've had a very different experience to me, stand in different shoes than I do, with a really valid point of view and really valid story to tell. It absolutely brought home to me the importance of educating ourselves. You know, it's got to start with me, hasn't it? We none of us can change unless we look at ourselves. So I think it really brought home to me the importance of educating ourselves, of understanding what true allyship really is all about. And then trying to create an environment within our businesses that talks about this sort of stuff all the time. that faces into the fact that as an industry, certainly as Bauer, we don't represent yet the audiences that we serve. Our BAME representation is not reflective of the UK population, but it ought to be. And I think what this year has absolutely brought out in me, and I think our organisation, is we're believers in what gets measured gets done. So we measure stuff. You know, we know where we are now with our BAME representation, and we know where we want to be and by when. And we're doing stuff to make that happen. For example, all of our leaders have been, or will have been, if they haven't already, on training courses around proper quality recruitment, so that we are going through really good recruitment processes to bring in resource into our business, talent into our business, that can help us get the right sort of shape of resource here. That means that we're talking with the right tone, with the right content, in the right way, playing the right music, whatever it is, to secure bigger audiences. So I think, I mean, I've just talked about BAME there, but clearly, you know, we have within Bauer now a D&I manifesto that I'm really proud of, because I think it's really clear. We measure our performance on that manifesto. We meet very regularly as a D&I forum to make sure that we are progressing on things. I think it's fantastic that we've got, I don't know, a great women in programming pillar, because we blinking need it. You know, we're an organisation, or not an organisation, we're an industry where it would be fabulous to have more confident women in front of and behind the mic. And so we've got work streams, we've got pillars, we've got a manifesto, we're measuring stuff, we're acting on stuff. I hope our people think we're listening. I believe our people would call it out if they thought we weren't. And that's another thing we've learned from this year. You know, I love the fact, I love it. I love the fact that when individuals in our business have found something to not be right, they've had the voice and the courage to say something. And only when people have that are we able to then take responsibility for listening, but best of all, acting. And I think we are not where we ought to be with regard to D&I, but we are definitely on the way. Our intention is there, our actions are there, and we will get there. And I'm really pleased and proud at some of the progress that we've made, but lots to do.
And before we let you go, I suppose the question everybody wants to know the answer to, when you get up in the morning and you put the radio on, which station is it? Is it one of your own? Is it the Today programme or Nick Ferrari or something like that?
I can't listen to the Today programme because I find it utterly depressing. To be honest, my favourite, I have a different, you know, if you've got many kids, you can't have a favourite, can you? But there are certain radio stations that I like at different times of day. The one I like to wake up to, though, is Greatest Hits. And I like to wake up to Greatest Hits because I know all the words to all the songs. I find it uplifting. I find it talks in a tone of voice that I really, you know, it wakes me up. It livens me up. Not that I'm sure I need too much livening up, but I absolutely love that spring in my step that I get from that. But for everybody else that's listening from Bauer, I love all of our radio stations equally, just at different times of day.
Well, we wish you a happy and safe Christmas, Dee, and all your team. And let's hope 2021 is going to be a better year for everybody.
Thank you, Stuart, and a happy Christmas to you and everybody listening to the podcast. Thank you.
That was Dee Ford, Group Managing Director at Bauer, here on the Radio Today programme. And before we go, this might just be what you need to sort out the tech issue you've got as we head into Christmas and the new year. You've heard us going on about clean feed all year, but have you actually tried it yet? Well, whether it's an OB, an interview, co-hosting for a remote location, just getting somebody different on your show, clean feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and connecting live, decent quality, just using your browser. The quality, as I say, is great, and you can even record within the browser as well. There is a completely free version, or there are paid for options, and it'll only take you 30 seconds to sign up, and within a few minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording with CleanFeed. Find out more at cleanfeed.net. Well, that's it for this week and this year. Thank you for listening during 2020. We've got a big back catalogue, so use the Christmas break to catch up on any previous editions that you might have missed. I think my favourite from 2020 was probably the interview with Chris Stark in April. That's definitely worth a listen if you missed it. Oh, and the one I didn't present as well, when Quentin Howard got me on as a guest to talk about my own radio station. That was fun. Anyway, have a look through the back catalogue. I'm sure there's at least one you missed, and enjoy listening to those over the festive season. We'll see you next year.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.